Turn to Daniel chapter 9. While you're doing there, I'd like to talk about a little something that we're involved in, something new to us. We hope, Lord willing, to start a private school, a Christian school at Bear Lake Bible Chapel, starting this fall. This week we went before the County Board of Adjustments to Zoning and got our approval for a private school. And so we're looking forward to starting that. If anybody is interested in becoming involved with a school, either by sending your children or otherwise, please mention that to us afterwards. I believe it's to our advantage to have a school at the chapel. There's many things that we can do and as a result of having a school that we otherwise could not. We're getting good response from the neighborhood. We've only taken one objection from the neighbors in our community to veto the prospect of having a school, but no one raised any objection, and we are receiving calls now, people wanting to send their children, so we're very excited about what may occur as a result of having the school. If anybody is interested, please see us afterwards, and we can give you information about it. This morning, I'm going to read the first 23 verses of Daniel chapter 9. Follow along in your Bibles. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, which may be a little different than yours, starting with verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord, given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes. Verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such never has been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all who are around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. We find this morning before us one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. I would like to address ourselves to the issue of prayer this morning. Daniel knew how to pray. Very interesting. Actually, what you have before us this morning, what we have read, is an incomplete prayer. Daniel was just getting started, you might say. He was really starting to roll. He was really starting to get into the presence of God and beseeching God. But he was interrupted in the middle of his prayer. He was interrupted by an angel. Now, I don't know how lately you've been interrupted by an angel in your prayers. If you have, I would like to know about that. That would be very exciting to hear about. But this happened to Daniel. Daniel was praying in such a way that God answered his prayer even before he finished. It's like what will happen in the millennial reign of Christ. We read in Isaiah chapter 65, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. A verse that I believe applies to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. In that day, when Christ rules on this earth, people will just begin to pray, and their prayers will be answered. What Daniel was experiencing the millennial, even before it was here, because God answered his prayer before he even called. And I'm sure, possibly, you have experienced the same as well. How is it that we can pray so that we will get God's attention? How is it that all of the energies of heaven will seek to come to our aid simply because we are praying? It seems many times that our prayers are dull and lifeless. And many times prayer becomes simply a habit, not a bad habit, but it nevertheless becomes a habit. And the result is nothing seems to happen as a result. Why is this? What is it that will bend God's ear so that when we talk to him, he will not only listen, but he will act on behalf of what we're asking him to do? Well, I believe Daniel reveals a few ingredients that are very necessary if we want to have our prayers answered. Now, I'm not so sure many times if we really want to have our prayers answered. That's beside the point. If we really want to have them answered, there are some necessary ingredients to this. This evening, I'm going to speak on the last ingredient. This morning, on the first two. I label them with S's. The first one, I believe, is that Daniel was a student of God's Word. He was a student. Second reason I believe God answered his prayer in this way was because he stooped. He humbled himself. And lastly, I believe God answered his prayer because Daniel was not only a student, he not only stooped, but he was very sincere. He was fervent in his praying. The sincerity of our prayers many times is lacking, is it not? Daniel was so sincere that he fasted. He put on sackcloth and he put on ashes. Now, I'm not suggesting that many times our prayers are not answered because we do not fast, or because we do not take our clothes off and put a garbage bag on, or because we don't put ashes from a fire on our head. But what place does or do these particular ingredients have? Does fasting have a place in our life today? I'd like to look this evening at scriptures that apply to this matter. These truths are New Testament truths, all three of them. But I find that many times the Old Testament gives body to New Testament truths. It makes it not only more understandable, but more livable. It puts, puts hands on New Testament truths. And I believe Daniel does this. These principles I mentioned are all New Testament principles, but they are all seen in Daniel's life. So first of all, we find that Daniel was a student by verse 2 of chapter 9. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. I don't know if the publishers of the Bible got their name for their new book, the Bible, or the book, they call it, entitled the Bible, the book, from this verse. But it's quite likely, because Daniel, see, was studying the books. What were the books? They were the Old Testament scriptures that he had available to him. He was digging in the Word of God. He was studying God's Word. He probably read verses like in Jeremiah, chapter 24 and chapter 25, where we read, "When 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity." Or another verse in Jeremiah that reads, "After 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place." Daniel understood by the books that God was going to return the people of Israel back to the land that they loved, back to the city of God, that of Jerusalem. You see, the people of Israel at this time were being held captive by the Babylonians. The city had just changed hands. King Darius was now ruling. The king of Babylon had just been defeated. Darius was of the Medes and Persians, another kingdom. They were the chest, the arms of silver that was prophesied in the previous chapter in Daniel. The king of Babylon, Belshazzar, had been defeated. He was the head of gold. The city had just changed hands. 70 years had just expired, since the time that the people were in Jerusalem, were in Babylon, I should say. And we find that Daniel was realizing all this, was understanding this. It gave Daniel the mind of God concerning the people of Israel. Daniel, as a result of studying the Word of God, knew what to pray for. He knew the time was at hand. Daniel was an old man at this time. He was probably around 90 years old. And I'm sure he was rejoicing because he was seeing God's prophecy coming to pass. You see, God's Word is such that when God prophesies concerning a particular event in history, we know that that event will occur. And Daniel realized that God's word was being very specific, that 70 years would pass, and then the people would be released from the land to go back to the nation Israel, the city of Jerusalem. Turn with me to 1 Kings, probably another portion that Daniel was studying. 1 Kings chapter 8. Here we have the prayer of Solomon recorded. 1 Kings 8, verse 47. We read these words, even as Daniel did in his day. "Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, remember Daniel had a habit of doing that 3 times a day, the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servants and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call to you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of your servant Moses when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. You see, Daniel had 20/20 vision. He understood that the time was at hand, but there was one thing lacking. That was the repentance of the people, a prayer ascending to heaven, pleading with God for his mercies upon them as his people. And so you see, the reason Daniel could pray so appropriately was because he was a student of God's word. A great prophecy was about to be fulfilled. They were on the threshold of it, but it could not be fulfilled until the prayer of repentance had ascended to the throne of God. You see, Daniel took the study of prophecy very seriously. When we begin to look at future events and what's going to occur, we look at these things not as a fairy tale, of course, but we look at them as things that will occur even possibly in our lives. And many times things don't occur because we do not realize what God expects. We are to pray, we read in New Testament scriptures, with knowledge, with understanding. If we are not praying this way, we know that our prayers cannot possibly be answered. We see in 1 Corinthians 14, I'll just read a few verses of New Testament truth. Verse 15, we read, what is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will pray with the understanding. We read in James chapter 4, a very familiar verse. Verse 3, you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure, on your own lust. Why is it many times that our prayers are not answered? Well, the New Testament tells us because we're asking wrongly. We're not praying with understanding. And if we want to have our prayers answered, then we have to pray understanding God's mind. In other words, whenever I have a request to bring before God, I need to ask, Lord, what is it that you want? What is your desire in this matter? Many times, and I'm guilty of this, we just pray to God and we ask for things, not understanding why we're even praying for them. Maybe we're praying for them because of our own personal comfort. And James says we are then asking amiss, because then you're only asking for your own pleasure. There are many who are ill and sick, possibly many in the hospital. What should be our prayer concerning these dear folks, loved by us and loved by the Lord? Should we pray that the Lord would do a miracle and take away all their illnesses? What should we pray for about them? For one who is studying the book knows a few things about illness. We know, for instance, that Paul had an illness, and he prayed three times that God take it away, and God didn't do that, but said, my grace is sufficient. Now the world would say, if you have a God, prove it by curing such a person. But you see, we have the mind of God. We have the understanding of God's will. And we know that at times, God wants a person to go through illness. He wants that to occur. For we know that, according to many teachings in the New Testament, adversity brings blessing. Because, you see, God's way is not man's way. So if we are going to pray correctly, intelligently, we have to pray understanding what God's mind is. Some people say, Lord, make me wealthy. Make this business deal go through so that I will have need of nothing. Now let's pause a minute and think about that. Is that God's mind that we be wealthy today? What verses would we use to support that? I could show you many verses that support the exact opposite. But you see, that's against our society today. Our society says that you're not successful until you're wealthy. But that's not God's mind. God promises for those who will live godly, persecution, discomforts. Those who are zealous for God will suffer because of his name's sake. And there's no getting around that today. I'm not saying it's wrong to have money. Of course it's not. We use it all for the glory of God. But what is it that we're praying for? What did Daniel pray for? He didn't pray for more prophets to come into the land to shake these people up so they'll repent of their sin. Could have prayed that way. Didn't pray that way. He didn't pray for a king to lead their people out of this land back to Israel. You see, Daniel knew that the 70 years were up, that the judgment of the people of Israel had been fulfilled. And he knew that what the people needed was simply repentance. They needed hearts that were melted before the Almighty God. And that was the focus of his prayer. And because, you see, he prayed that way, God answered his prayer before he even finished. I'm sure Daniel read verses like this in the Old Testament. Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so he knew that if he was going to pray to God, he had to confess the sins of himself and his people. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. He knoweth, or he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He dealt with the sins of the people of God. You say, but we're Christians, we're believers, we don't have to deal with our sins. They're all forgiven. But yet the New Testament teaches that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them. Confession is a requirement. So you see, if I'm going to pray in a way that God will hear and what God will delight to answer, I have to deal with a sin question. When was it that Daniel's prayer was answered? We read in verse 21 of chapter 9. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. This was the offering that pictured our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no offering there. They were in a strange land. But Daniel loved the book. He loved to obey God. And he remembered that the time that the angel came was the time of the evening offering. You see, this was the hour that Jesus Christ died. It was the third hour. That's when they offered the evening sacrifice. When Jesus Christ was hanging on that cross and he gave up his spirit, it was the third hour, the evening sacrifice. At that precise time in the temple, they were offering the evening offering when Jesus Christ died. You see, our answers come only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because the sin question has been dealt with. You see, we can say this very dogmatically, without any hesitation, that God will not hear your prayers unless my sins have been dealt with. There's no question about that. The person who knows not Jesus Christ, God will not hear their prayer. He will not answer their prayer. God can work in their life and he can bring circumstances about according to his own will, but he does not hear their prayer. The sin question has to be dealt with or God will not respond. So you see, even in my life, even though I know Jesus Christ as my Savior and I've been forgiven and cleansed, still I'm not perfect and I still need to confess my sin to him. I still need to kneel at the cross when I go to him in prayer. That is, if we're serious about prayer, if we really want answers to our prayer. But Daniel was not only a student of God's word. We find that he also stooped, that he had an attitude of unworthiness. He had an attitude of confession. You see, of all people in the entire world, I would have picked out Daniel as the most righteous person in the world at that time. You never read of anything negative about Daniel. Never. Nothing bad is ever said about Daniel. You remember early in his youth when he was but a teenager, he sat at the king's table and he was asked to eat of the king's food and of the king's wine that had been offered previously to the king's god. But Daniel refused. He ate vegetable soup instead. He was a righteous man. Even from his youth, even in his older age, he was thrown in the Daniel's, in the lion's den. I say Daniel's den because that reminds me of my little boy. We call him Ryan in the Daniel's den. Ryan Daniels is his name. But anyway, we find that even though he was an older man, he was still upright. He was still righteous. He was a holy man. But as you read his prayer, you would never think that. Why is that? First of all, we know that Daniel wanted to identify with the people. If I'm going to pray and get answers to my prayer, and if I'm praying for others, and I believe that's a key element in our prayers. Daniel didn't pray for his wife. He wasn't praying for other things. He was praying for the people of God. He was praying for others. Very unselfish prayer. If we are praying for others as Daniel was, we then find that the result is going to be confession even of their sin. It wasn't just his own sins he was confessing. There's a principle that we find throughout Scripture, and that is that God does not bless when there is sin in the camp. We find that with Achan, a very vivid, real-life illustration, where we find that the armies went out of Joshua. 3,000 soldiers left camp and went to the city of Ai. They were defeated in battle, and 36 of those soldiers died. Scriptures are very pointed in stating the number that died. 36 lost their life because of one man's sin, Achan, who had hid the silver, the precious metals, the raiment in his tent. Why? Because God cannot prosper when there is sin in the camp. Daniel realized that God would not bring the people of Israel back until the sin had been confessed. And so he pleaded before God for the people. He took their sin as his own sin. He identified with them. Such humility. You see, the significance of this has not been lost. It's true today too. There could be one person today who outwardly is claimed to be in fellowship with this chapel, but who is living secretly in sin. And you know, that one person can destroy the blessing of the whole group. How important is facing up to sin? God's blessing. Our prayers will not be answered until it is faced. You see, that's how important we are to each other. That's why the scriptures teach us that we are one body. That we are all part of each other. Because if there's just one who is living their own way, even one young person, one youth, who is not living for God, but yet comes and partakes of the elements, and everybody thinks that that person is in fellowship, but yet they're living a life that is displeasing to Jesus Christ, that one person can ruin the blessing God has in mind for that testimony. So Daniel was very conscious of this. He pleaded for the sins of the people as if they were his own sin. And notice that he pleaded for the mercies of God. He didn't plead for God's righteous way. He didn't plead that God would reward them according to their rightness, according to their desire to please him. He pleaded for the God's mercies. That's so important. If we are going to have prayers that are answered, we must rely on God's mercy. Because we deserve nothing from God, absolutely nothing. We deserve no mercy. So we have to plead for them. We ask God for them. And this was the basis of Daniel's prayer. You see, he prayed in humility, completely dependent upon the Almighty God for any answer that may come, so that God's glory might be seen. There's an interesting verse in Exodus chapter 33. Many times we pray for God's glory and we don't realize what we're praying for. Verse that has been going over and over in my mind. We find in Exodus 33, verse 18 and 19, Moses pleading God before God, and Moses is saying, please show me your glory. And then God answers and says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. You see, God's glory is his goodness. If you want to see God's glory, then you look for God's goodness, because they're the same thing. When we pray that God may be glorified, we are praying that God will show his goodness. The greatest goodness, of course, that God ever showed was through Jesus Christ on the cross. There was God's glory as it had never been seen before. And so Daniel, in his prayer, his pleading, his relying on the mercies of God, for you see, that's God's glory. And any time that we can pray, and as a result of our prayer, that God's goodness is revealed, is seen, we are then glorifying God. No wonder Daniel's prayer was answered. He was pleading that God reveal his goodness. In our prayers, as we pray for others, are we praying that God's goodness may be seen in their life, may be seen in the way that God deals with them? You see, if we're praying that way, we are in line with God's will. He delights to glorify himself. That's the purpose of man. That's why we were created, to glorify God. So you see, the first two steps in Daniel's prayer. First of all, Daniel was a student. He was in the Word of God. He understood it. He prayed with understanding, intelligently. And we cannot pray unless we understand the Bible. That's why we teach it to children in Sunday school. That's why we have youth meetings with the young people, so that they might get the Word of God in their hearts. So as they get older, they have a greater understanding of God and what we should be praying for. We don't pray according to what the world wants us to pray for. We pray as God wants us to pray. And then we find that Daniel stooped. He had a tremendous humility. He was willing to take upon himself the sins of the people he was in fellowship with, that he identified with. And he pleaded with God as if they were his own sins. Has there been fornication? Has there been thievery, stealing? Has there been blasphemy? Has there been taking God's name in vain? Then in our prayers, we bow before the Almighty God and we confess this. Even though it may not be you, even though you may be the righteous person in the whole fellowship, in humility, we find that compared to God, we are nothing. And that's what Daniel did. He identified with God's character over and over in this prayer of his. And he realized that compared to God, he was totally black and God was totally light. And so he pleaded with God in this way. And I believe if we hold these principles, plus the last one that we'll address tonight, that of the fervency, that of the fasting, that God will answer prayer. One distinguishing mark that makes us different from other people is that we have a God who answers prayer. And if God is not answering your prayers, then we need to re-examine how we are praying. Because he delights to. He loves to reveal his glory in answering prayers that result in the goodness of his name being seen. Shall we pray? Father, we are so frail and we are such unknowledgeable people. When we compare ourselves with you, a God who knows everything. So many times, Father, we come not knowing how we should pray. And many times we just simply have to say, Father, thy will be done, for we do not know how we ought to pray. And Father, it's such a delight to be able to rest in you. To be able to commit to you life's problems when we do not know the solution, when we do not know the answer. So, Father, it's with great contentment that we come into your presence. We thank thee for your word. We thank thee for the knowledge of it. Help us, Father, to be students of the book. So that as we pray, we might not have the excuse of saying, when we stand before thee, I didn't know that we weren't supposed to pray for that. Father, we pray for loved ones, for ones who are suffering. We uphold them before you this morning, praying that your will may be done in their lives. Draw them close to yourself. Give them what they stand in need of. May your grace be very fresh to them this day. And Father, for anyone here who does not know you, who does not have the privilege of praying, oh, Father, we pray that there may be that confession, that they may deal with that sin, they might turn in faith to the cross and say, Father, forgive me of my sin. We pray this and thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.